This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. It's Monday, April 1st. Don't be a fool. 2024. Lots to talk about. Tomorrow's the vote. Anyone wish we'd get another week of the back and forth?
Yeah.
Extend this?
Yeah. So soon?
So I could just get a few more emails. A few more appearances by Slugger and Casey Wolf.
A few more people asking me what I think.
Yeah, just a few more pissing matches on social media. I had someone ask me yesterday, so what do you think? I said, you don't want to know what I think.
Right.
Change the topic now. What else you want to hear? What else you want to talk about?
It is a topic.
How about Rashee Rice?
Jesus.
I don't always want to talk about sports, but man, I want to go back to talking about sports. Let me tell you. Today on the show with Todd Lebo, we'll put all the tough topics on his ass and see what he has to say.
He's not afraid. He'll talk about it.
CJ Moore from The Athletic, Jarrett Sutton talking basketball. Okay, we'll start with some good news. We'll start off on the right foot. Okay? The Royals offense exploded yesterday for 11 runs and they won 11-0. Home runs. Salvador Perez. Nelson Velasquez.
Nelson?
Kyle Isbell. Bobby Witt Jr. And number two for Michael Garcia.
Thank you, my friend.
And yesterday I felt real good because I've been vocal about my thoughts about Michael Garcia having a breakout year this year. A tremendous amount of focus. And why wouldn't there be a tremendous amount of focus on Bobby Witt Jr. and also Vinny Pasquantino and also Cole Reagans? But I've told you that I think Michael Garcia is a stud. I've told you that he is part of the as of right now, untradeable nucleus of this baseball team. And I'm not saying that. The baseball teams has said that. I've heard that. And so he needs to do more than just hit home runs, obviously. But he's an excellent fielder. I think he has a tremendous amount of room to grow as a hitter. I think he's already shown off a little bit more power than people anticipated, but I love seeing him do well, and I hope that continues. Now, the other guy that I thought is going to have a real big bounce back is Brady Singer because of the reasons that I've stated a couple of times on the show. I think that even though we've talked to people and we talked to Scott Sharp and he didn't totally buy into this. I do think there is some truth to the idea that Brady Singer now doesn't feel like he has to be the ace. He's not the guy in the rotation. He's just a guy in the rotation. The pressure that came along with being part of that draft class has been broken up because Jackson Kowar was traded away. Right? And so that was the first sign. Okay, you know what? Not all these guys are going to make it. This all isn't going to work. You know, Chris Bubich got hurt. Daniel Lynch is starting down at AAA. And so the Royals, in a way, kind of waved the white flag, at least partly, when they traded Jackson Kowar and said, hey, you know what? We're not going to push this rock uphill anymore. We're going to go in a different direction. And again, Brady Singer, there's been a lot of pressure on him. He was he was carrying that draft class of pitchers. Jackson Kowar did nothing in the major league level. Chris Bubich did very little. And Daniel Lynch has not been good enough to think, well, he's a for sure starting pitcher in this rotation. It's all been on Brady Singer, right? He's been the only guy that's been carrying the water for that much talked about draft class. And so now you can get rid of that talk as well. And now Brady Singer can just be Brady Singer, the third starter on this team, the fourth starter, whatever you want to call him. And he might end up being the number two starter on this team. Who knows? But now you've got, you know, Cole Reagans takes the pressure of he's the ace. He's the number one guy. He's the stud of the future. Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo come in here and provide a veteran presence. And they're guys that will, they know how to handle pressure. They know how to, you know, they know how to deal with that. Now Brady Singer, again, is not the starting pitcher. He's a starting pitcher in this rotation. And if this is any indication of what we're going to see from Brady Singer, oh boy. 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 10 strikeouts. Hell of a start from Brady Singer. And I just think there could be something to that. I think there is something to that. He can settle in. He knows what his role is on this baseball team. He knows he doesn't have to be the ace. He doesn't have to be anything but himself. He has to be Brady Singer. And we've seen in the past, that's pretty damn good. And yesterday, he was outstanding. So the Royals' bats come alive. They showed some power. I mean, Salvi had 4 ribbies. It looked, you know, Velasquez had a couple of hits, including a home run. It looked good from top to bottom. And Brady Singer was spectacular. So there's some great news there for the Royals. Some other great news. And I'll talk college basketball, but we'll get to the men's college basketball Final Four. I'm just it's the UConn Invitational, people. I mean, I could try to generate some excitement for it, but it's like, does anybody think Alabama has anything for UConn?
No,
anything at all?
Nope.
No, they don't.
Maybe Purdue in the final?
Maybe.
If they get there?
You know, we'll see. Can't talk about a matchup that isn't there yet. All right.
Well, I'm just looking for anybody that can give them a game.
Right. Well, keep looking because it hasn't happened in two
nope.
years.
No.
Okay. I mean, Illinois was supposed to be a team that was going to be able to hang with them. UConn shot the ball horribly in the first half. And they were still up by 5. And then they went on a 30-0 run against a really good Illinois team. They went on a 30-0 run. This isn't what I've tried to say over and over. You know, and for all these people, well, I don't know if UConn's can be included in the Blue Blood group yet. They're creating you may not belong in UConn's group, Blue Bloods. You count the championships that they've won since 99, and if they had another one, and the level of dominance that we're seeing last year and this year, they're in their own. They don't want to be in your group. Maybe you don't belong in their group, whatever group that is. I've never seen anything like this. Have you?
No. I don't know why you're yelling at me right now.
I've never seen nothing like this. Because that argument's so stupid now. Because it happened again over the weekend.
Nah, whatever.
And you're some of your Kansas faithful still resisting the idea. Like, what are you talking about? And like, I feel
seriously?
Like UConn people are past it. Like, well,
yeah, whatever.
You can have your fake made-up groups where, you know, you decide, UCLA used to be in it, but now they're not in it, and Indiana used to be in it, now they're not in it, but now they're, you know, this weird, arbitrary, I don't know who decides this. UConn doesn't care anymore. They're doing something that I've never seen before. I mean, I don't know, was this how UCLA used to do things? And they had John Wooden, and they had a complete payroll. I mean, I don't know. Every game, they beat the living hell out of people. Their average margin of victory is like 25 in this tournament.
Yeah.
They win, guys, a 30-0 run. in the Elite Eight against a Big Ten champ, a wildly talented Illinois team. What is that? Who does that?
That is really silly.
Have you ever seen that?
Not, I mean.
In a game of that level? That level?
Like I said, the best thing I can think about was the UNLV team way back in the early 90s, and they beat like Duke by 30. But they didn't. They weren't even at this level, like in terms of winning 2 years in a row every game like this.
And maybe they'll fall apart in one of these upcoming games. But if you predict it, you're crazy. They win by so much. And then when they get it rolling, it's like the other team can't do it. They're helpless. And so, okay, Alabama, great, whatever. Like, to your point, I have no desire, really, to watch UConn, Alabama, and no desire, really, to watch North Carolina State, Purdue. And it'll be a fun matchup of the bigs, but I just think Purdue's better, and Purdue will show that. I think Purdue, this if it wasn't for UConn, this would be their year. It's so far, you know what? It is their year. They got to the freaking Final Four for the first time since 1980. That's a hell of a year, no matter what happens. Now, get back with me on Monday if the matchup turns out to be UConn and Purdue. Because then you've got a worthy competitor.
Yeah.
There is no more worthy contender for UConn this year than Purdue.
Right.
You have the best player in college basketball, who, by the way, in his elite game, just dropped 40.
Yep.
And that was along with, what, about 8 or 9 missed free throws. He dropped 40 and also is allowed to stay in the lane forever. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. It is what it is. He's still great, all right? But it's a very unique situation with him. He's in there. Like Rick Barnes, when they were interviewing Rick Barnes, I think it makes it tough. He just stays in the lane. He just stays in the paint. He ain't going anywhere, you know? And no one's making him go anywhere. But still, we saw a game between Purdue and Tennessee where Zach Edey dropped 40 and Dalton Knecht had 37. That was, I think I read, the first game like that in the Elite Eight, in a tournament game like that, where you had two players score more than half of their team's points. Knecht was 37 of Tennessee 66, and Edey was 40 of Purdue 72. And I love DJ Burns. I'd love him to give up basketball and sign a contract with the Chiefs, and they could develop him to the best left tackle in football.
Yeah.
With his footwork. But I just, you know, and maybe NC State can be Purdue, but I don't think so. But then get me to Monday and talk to me about Purdue and UConn. I'll be excited about that. And then UConn might just wipe the floor with them, too. Like, oh, you got a 7-footer? Oh, so do we. And then we got everything else, too. We literally have everything. So I want to say, oh, I'm excited about the Final Four. I just, it's like UConn against the world, and the world is losing bad. Okay? Which leads me to something that I really am excited about.
Oh, yeah.
If you have ever been a fan of women's college basketball, or if you've ever wanted to be, this is like one of the best days ever. This doubleheader tonight on ESPN, and also we'll have the game between LSU and Iowa right here on Sports Radio 810 WHP. You couldn't get bigger star power. You couldn't. In the 6 o'clock game, it's LSU and Iowa. It's a rematch of the national championship game from last year. It's the GOAT, Caitlin Clark, to see if she could do, her and her team could do what they couldn't do last year and beat LSU. She, for some people, she's the hero of college basketball. For others, she's the villain. Then you go on the other side, LSU, Kim Mulkey, who before the article just even came out, accused Kent Babb of writing a hit piece. Then it comes out, and everyone says, oh, that's actually just a really well-written, in-depth article about Kim Mulkey. Where was the hit piece? what was this?
It makes you kind of feel like, boy, she has a lot of things that she's worried about in her past that she thought was going to come out.
It's a really interesting article. Kind of makes you understand Kim Mulkey a little bit better. Like, this is what she was mad about?
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, Kim Mulkey's the villain of college basketball. Some people love her. Angel Reese, one of the best college basketball players. For some people, she's the villain. For other people, they love her. You know, it's... You couldn't get anything better than that. Jake's a big Haley Van Lith fan. He calls her HVL.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I don't, like social media is going to melt down during this game.
Oh, man.
It's a 6 o'clock tip-off. There are going to be so many emotions and feelings. And this game has, like, the feel of a big heavyweight fight. This game has the feel of just, it's an event. This game has the feel of, okay, I don't know where I'm watching it, but I'm going to watch it. I need to watch it. And I want to talk about it with people. I want to be on social media and see what people say. I can't wait to see this. I wish it was the second game, to be honest with you. The second game is fantastic also. UConn and USC. And we've talked in the past, and you saw when Kansas went up against her, USC has one of the best players, the best freshman in the nation. And she's incredible. Juju Watkins. All she averages is 27 points a game. That's it. And she might drop 40 on you. I don't know. And she's taking on UConn, who's led by one of the best players in the nation, in Paige Beckers, and the GOAT coach of women's basketball, Gino Auriemma. And I love him. He's been on this show. He's great. Love him. And before Caitlin Clark, you know, I mean, she's been a star, but like my daughter loved Paige Beckers. And then last year when women's college basketball really blew up, she had a torn ACL. And now she's back with a vengeance. And hell, who knows? She might be the best player of the four we're talking about, or all that we're talking about tonight. Who knows? She's fantastic. Don't count her out. And UConn is the best women's program ever, with the best coach ever. All that's tonight, back-to-back on ESPN. I wish it was UConn-USC first, and then the main event, Iowa and LSU, but I'll take what I can get. You know, and so, and like, we were talking about it yesterday. I was sitting at Easter brunch. You know, Julia doesn't get excited about much. She was trying to rally the family to go see Godzilla versus King Kong, and Selena wouldn't go, and then we ate too much at brunch, and everyone, you know, and she got mad, and so we just went home. But we were sitting talking about this, and like, can you believe this game? It's going to be awesome. And even the boys, we were all talking about it. It's a thing. A lot of people were talking about it. Oh, yeah. Can't wait till tomorrow night at 6 to watch this game. And then we're looking at it, and I go, and then Juju was playing against Paige Beckers in USC and UConn. It's like, if you have a daughter that plays college or high school or grade school or any level of basketball. I don't. If you just have sons, doesn't matter. If you just like basketball, if you like drama, if you like storylines, if you like social media meltdowns, if you like wild, colorful characters, if you like, I mean, I don't like. Like, if you don't like this thing, then I don't know. I don't know. Then I don't know what to tell you. Okay, then you're looking for something that I don't know what you're looking for. But this has got everything. I mean, it will be so. I mean, the buildup, I can already feel the buildup, but right, it's going to be wild, man. It's going to be wild.
Well, the development of women's sports in this country over the last several years, one of the conversations has been, you know, if you put it on the right stage and the right platform, these games will be as compelling. People will want to pay money to watch it. People will want to watch it on television. They'll want to go watch in person. You see it in you've taught me a lot about this. When you look at professional wrestling, it's a great indicator of how what really actually interests us in sports. It's the characters. It's the storytelling. It's the drama. You know, the number one story, the number one job in storytelling is make people care. If you care about the participants, if you get emotionally involved, then you're much more likely to watch. And it doesn't matter about whether it's men's or women's. It's, dude, tell me which tournament has the bigger characters that elicit an emotional response from you right now. You either love that LSU team or you hate them. People seem to either love Caitlin Clark or hate her. Kim Mulkey is a polarizing figure. She plays a great villain, right? She's a character. These athletes are stars with star power, and people know their names. And they aren't just stars because of how good they are. That's a big part of it, but because of the characters they play and the way they make people feel about them. And so to watch and then the history of I just am mad that they made this LSU-Iowa game an Elite Eight game instead of a – but at least we get it.
I'm not mad, you know? Because you mess around and try to make it happen in the Final Four, then you don't get it.
You're right. Hey, at least we get it. And
this is with a trip to the Final Four on the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both these games.
And it's tonight when this is the show.
Right.
In American sports tonight. This is what people are going to be watching in American sports tonight.
I was favored by a point and a half, Jake. And UConn's favored by 3.5 over the one seed USC.
Go Hawkeyes.
So.
Go Mike Boddicker's alma mater.
You know, I got to root for Paige Beckers. I'll get yelled at, but the 3.5-point favorites.
Good story. Come back to her.
So there you go. So there's the good news. There's good stuff going on in sports. Bad news, biggest bad news is Rashee Rice. And here's what I won't do, and what he won't do, and what he won't do. We won't talk about something that we don't know what happened. Boy, people jumped on. Does that surprise you? Social media. Well, they should do this to him. They should do that. You don't know what happened. And I'm not defending anybody, because guess what? Accusing someone. And already, you know, putting guilt on them without knowing what happened. You know what's just as bad as that? Defending someone and trying to blindly defend someone when you don't know what happened. Both are bad because you don't know. Guess what? You don't know what happened. I would love to know what happened. We're going to find out what happened, I think. But everything's been so bizarre as far as what we know, but more importantly, what we don't know. Do you guys have a really firm grasp of what happened?
Negative. No.
I mean, there are certain things you feel like happened.
Yeah, there was two high-dollar freaking sports cars that were racing that we seen the dash cam video of that wrecked and caused several other cars to wreck.
We know that.
Okay? And so we know the two people that were driving the cars, I feel comfortable saying that they're stupid. Because if you're racing cars over 100 miles an hour or whatever, 90, 100, 110, however fast they're going, on public streets or highways, and putting people, other innocent people, if you're putting their lives at risk because of that, you're a moron. Now, we all do stupid things when we're young, don't we?
Yes.
We all have done things that a moron would do. We've all acted like morons. But I'm that doesn't make it right.
Right.
You're stupid if you're doing that. All right? How quickly we forget what happened with Henry Ruggs, who looked like he had the world in front of him as a first-round pick and a promising football career. And he goes out and turns his car into a 150-mile-an-hour projectile and kills an innocent woman. Destroys her life and the people around her, and destroys his life as well. So first of all, whoever is responsible for this is lucky that didn't happen. Right?
100%.
And so, but after that, I don't know. Who was driving? I don't know. We think one of the cars was Rashee Rice's? Okay. What else do we know? There's a TMZ video of men leaving the scene of the accident in broad daylight. One of them looks like Rashee Rice. Until everything is verified, and until everything we know is confirmed, that's what we know. Not a lot. It's a terrible look. It's a bad situation, and it could get worse. A lot of things out there being said, and who knows why you would. I mean, there's obvious reasons why you would leave the scene of an accident. Again, you could speculate. But the bottom line is this: it's bad. That's bad news. How bad is it? Don't know yet. How much trouble is Rashee Rice going to be in? I don't know.
Is he the only one? We don't know.
What's that supposed to mean?
We don't know who was with him.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sucks. I mean, I'm looking on the Today Show. Police in Dallas are reportedly searching for Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice in connection with a dangerous high-speed crash involving multiple vehicles that happened over the weekend.
I mean, and there's something there. That was the latest article I read. So they haven't found him?
Josina Anderson, 9 hours ago, who is very good with her information, tweeted out, "I'm told Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice has retained counsel, per source. Separately, a release on the incident is expected sometime tomorrow." That was tweeted out 9 hours ago. I'm going to guess NFL security knows where he is. I'm going to guess the Chiefs know where he is. But again, I don't know. Do you?
Do the police?
Okay. Jake, here's a guy that claims he knows everything. Jake, do you know? Do you know where he is?
No.
Do you know they know where he is? Do you know what happened? Do you know any of this stuff?
No idea.
It's a horrific look right now.
Yeah, it's bad.
But I don't know. It's bizarre that we don't know more.
Poor judgment was made. That's all I can say. There was poor judgment made by who? I don't know.
Yeah, somebody.
Somebody made. There's some people made some poor decisions, bad judgment, did some ignorant actions.
That did put a couple people in the hospital.
Right.
The
injured people.
Thank God nobody died.
Right. The injured people. There's people that are hurt. And when that happens, that's a bad deal.
And supposedly release is going to happen today, so we will see.
Right.
So that's what we know.
More to come. The truth will be sifted out. Like, what happened will be sifted out.
We think. Yeah.
We would think that law enforcement officials will find Rashee Rice.
Well, if someone already knows he retained counsel, someone found him. I mean,
you would think so.
Yes, I don't. You know. I'm going to guess NFL security knows where he is. That's my first guess. But again, there I go. I don't know.
Right.
I'm like Mr. Hand in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. Mr. Hand, will I pass this class? Well, gee, Mr. Cipicoli, I don't know. I don't know. Are we going to break now? I don't know. Back after this on WHP. All right, we still streaming? Yeah. Oh, we're not?
Yeah.
Big Bowman here.
I had to fix the...
Oh, the Lenten sacrifice is over. Does that one have a good nose on it?
Mm. A bouquet.
Oh, man. Mm. Uh-oh.
It's got a nice fizz to it.
The return of Diet Dr. Pepper to my life. Stop drinking these damn calories. To make up for it, I latched on to 7-Up. And I really latched on to ginger ale. Sometimes without whiskey.
Sometimes.
Yeah, my grandpa was a big... you know, whiskey with a little splash of ginger ale in there, you know? Like, I think that's an old school Mexican thing. Mijo, go give me the ginger ale.
Yeah, my grandparents
tell always, grandma's for you.
Always had ginger ale.
But my grandma had a big stash of cold ginger ale because that was an elixir for her. If I had a headache, a stomach ache, if I broke my ankle, if I had a fever, I would have... ginger ale. She would rub Vicks on my chest.
Right.
Grandma, I broke my ankle. Mijo, here's Vicks. Rub right. Vicks on it. Like, I don't think that...
By the way,
in no way will that help me.
That part in Blue Beetle where they talk about that, I was on the ground laughing.
Right, that's right.
I was on the ground.
That's right.
Always had like big jar of Vicks.
And a nice swig of Pepto-Bismol.
just some Robitussin.
Grandma, I cut my head open.
Some Pepto.
Get the Vicks, mijo. I'm like, no, I don't know.
And the Pepto.
You know?
Yep.
And so he would send me to get the ginger ale because he was getting ginger ale out of the fridge. She knew it was about ready to be mixed with something. So I said, hey, go tell her you got a stomachache, mijo. Go get some ginger ale. So I'd run up there, you know, Grandma, I need some ginger ale. Get some ginger ale. Run back down to the basement or to the garage. Fix that up real quick. You know, and I get a little sip. So then that's where it all started. So, Daniel Taveras, I praise you. Thank you.
But you're off the ginger ale and back on the Diet Dr. Pepper.
Well, I have a taste for ginger ale. It's I like it.
Yeah.
But it's too many calories. But here we go. Diet Dr. Pepper is god awful for me. But the most important thing, zero calories. I poured it on ice. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go.
This man loves his Diet Dr. Pepper.
Mm.
40 long days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm. I got a little buzz out of that. I got a little kick out of that. I got a little rush. I don't know what that rush is. I got something. Mm. I can feel that in my elbows. Like, here we go. All right. I'm back. This is going to help the show.
Put you in a better mood?
No, there's been days I've been pissy because I wanted a Diet Dr. Pepper and I couldn't have one.
Mm. We need that.
A lot of people, they're saying this is better for you than water.
That's what I've heard Jake say a lot.
I said it?
Yeah, right.
There's one. There's one. I'm pretty influential. There's one.
Trying not to be judgy.
Yeah. You know what?
Are you? How's it working?
Here's the deal. This is the best thing about it. It don't matter if you are or not. I'm still drinking it.
I know.
That's the best part. Mm. You guys have good Easters?
Yeah, special day as well today. I'd like to wish a happy birthday to my Uncle Andy Bucati.
Get him a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Here's to you, Uncle Andy.
Yeah.
He's teaching middle school down in the Argentine district these days.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Named one of your sons after him, correct?
I did. Little Andy. So, great man. Former Air Force pilot.
Happy birthday!
Yeah. And he always... He did not like the fact, from what I'm told, when he was growing up, that his birthday always fell on April Fool's Day. And it still does to this day.
Yeah.
I was going to say, did it change?
Well, he famously asked my grandma one time, "Mom, is my birthday always going to be on April Fool's Day?" She had to break the news to him.
Right.
But great guy. Uncle Andy, happy birthday. Hope you're having a great day.
How old is he?
I don't know if he wants to be saying that on the air.
Why?
I don't know. Be and I'm not positive, to be perfectly honest with you.
Right. So.
But he's a great guy. We all love him.
Did you know that UConn, the UConn men's team, is the first team in NCAA tournament history to win 10 straight games by double digits?
Man.
UConn won its first four tournament games last year by a total of 90 points. You know what they won their first four tournament games this year by? More or less.
Probably more?
More.
111.
Yeah. Stupid.
Figure that out. Let's
see. It's really silly.
I can't remember who was in the studio last week, but he asked the question, UConn or the field?
No. Yeah, was it Jesse? Somebody, you bet. Yeah.
Gurley.
Gurley.
I was on like, yeah, I'm on that side. It's like, that's the stupid side.
I'll take UConn. Yeah, you take the field.
That's the dumb side.
Just under 28 points a game is what they're winning games
about. I'm still upset. 30-0 run in a men's Division I basketball game.
In a tournament game.
In a Elite Eight game.
Yeah, in the Elite Eight game.
I mean, that's stupid. It's...
Well, it's kind of like when people the last few years would take the field versus the Chiefs. Because in general, it seems like a good idea to take the field just by the math of it. But sometimes there's a team that's just so good that it's not smart to take the field over them.
Right. I didn't ask this when there were 68 teams or 64 teams.
Right.
I asked when there was 12.
12, yeah.
I thought more people would have said UConn, but y'all took the field. And I don't know how the field looks to you right now, but... Purdue, I think, is your only hope. I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Take a break. Weather Tech.
More compelling action tonight on the women's side.
Right. Now, if it ends up being UConn and Purdue like it should
be. You
got
to watch.
I think that'll be terrific. I just, you know, and I think maybe Purdue can hang with them for a half. But then it's just... UConn hits this gear that nobody else has. How do you explain it? It's has spanned two seasons, and it's so consistent. You guys know better than anyone. You have games in the tournament where the other team's hot. You're battling injury.
You're
missing
foul
a
trouble.
Guy. You aren't hitting your shots. You aren't hitting your free throws. And I'm not, and then they can make you lose. But I'm not even talking about that. It could make you have a close game. They haven't had a close game. It's 10 straight double-digit wins over spanning two seasons against such a wide variety of competition. Like, I don't, it's just amazing to me. Amazing. Also, North Carolina State, their 14 losses this season, the most ever by a team that has advanced to the Final Four. They were 17-14 and a free throw at the end of the game away from being out of the ACC tournament. Kid misses the free throw, they hit a game-tying three, and now they're in the Final Four.
Wild.
That's like nine straight elimination games.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, nine straight elimination games.
Incredible.
And you can tell by the way they're not feeling the pressure.
No.
We're not even supposed to be here.
16 days ago, they were down 6 to Virginia with less than a minute left. They lose, their season's over.
Yeah.
That god-awful Virginia team we saw in the play-in game.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.